This is Jennifer Brady, and you're listening to the Just Get Hired podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Just Get Hired podcast. There's a lot of job openings right now and a lot of companies that just need to hire people. Well, how are you going after opportunities that strike a balance between what you want financially, personally, and professionally? And what are employers doing to attract the talent that they need if they have limited resources? Well, if you're new to the show, hey everyone, my name is Jessica Fiesta George, and I'm your host of Just Get Hired. My podcast is for job seekers and business professionals like you who just want to learn to level up and stand out. If you like to hear conversations about the newest in HR technology, you want to learn from the best career coaches and leaders in the business world, or you just want to understand the newest recruiting trends and personal branding tips and how to just stand out and power up your opportunities, well, this podcast was made for you. Well, welcome to episode 24, and I'm talking to Matt Warzel, a career coach and resume writer, about overhauling your opportunities. We both have a raw discussion about how we bounced back after losing our jobs and everything from resumes to side hustles, and hopefully we can encourage you if you're currently on the market today. My guest, Matthew Warzel, is a certified resume writing expert with over 15 years of experience. He manages MJW Careers and helps companies that are experiencing downsizing or buyouts, but he also helps individual job seekers who need to advance their careers. Matt has a long history of working with HR and recruiting teams across a variety of industries, and he helps clients by writing resumes that highlights their accomplishments while showing how they can impact the employer's bottom line by using quantitative verbiage and maintaining brevity. Well, if you enjoy my content, head over to my website, justgethired.com. Connect to network with me on LinkedIn by searching my full name, Jessica Fiesta George. Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Just Get Hired, and find my company pages on LinkedIn and on Facebook. Well, we're talking about opportunity overhaul. What are you doing to stand out, and how are you chasing your goals? Well, let's bring Matt in to start off this conversation. All right, guys, I hope you guys are ready for some words of wisdom from our featured guest, Matt Warzel. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Hi, Jessica. Doing well. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. And thanks for everyone who's listening out there. Hopefully I can drop some knowledge bombs, if you will, and something will stick for somebody.
Well, I hope so, because I think we're in for a real treat with having you on here. So in this episode, you and I are going to talk about opportunities. And there's so many people that complain that they can't find a job, but there's also employers that are complaining that they can't find people. So why do you think that is?
That, you know, great question. With the pandemic and kind of the onset of a lot of moving parts within the hiring, and staffing kind of business function, I think HR, first and foremost, from a macro level, you know, HR is scrambling to do their best. They're trying to maintain a solid pipeline of candidates to coupled with, you know, who they have for internal promotions and things like that, succession plans. And when you focus on, you know, you're focused on staffing, but there's a lot of other variables that come into play when it comes to, you know, managing, let's say, some of the newer things that are appeared, that are kind of coming out of the woodwork now, right? The work-life balance, emphasis on upskilling, emphasis on mental health and wellness, you know, things that are always kind of been brushed over, well, you know, you're lucky to have a job kind of idea is kind of off the table now. And a lot of people, I think, when you have something, you know, kind of so personal as something like a pandemic that we've never experienced before, come into play, you know, a lot of people might have some more internalization and realization that, you know, hey, I'm not happy. And you know what, I'm not going to stick around and not be happy, you know, and I want to move on and find some sort of, you know, and everyone are trying to achieve a better them. And so I think with it being so shuffled, if you will, the great reshuffle, the great resignation, all this kind of stuff, when you have doing action coupled with the inaction you might have not been, you know, that you might have been kind of not taking, it might motivate a lot of people. So going back to your question, so you have the end user, right? The employees, you have those people that are either trying to fight for more money, fight for better benefits, fight for whatever they can to make them want to leave the house once for 40 hours a week plus whatever. Right. Couple them with the HR side of things where they're trying to almost figure out who can they keep that's going to be a part of their culture, a part of their team for the long run, that aren't just going to show up and want a paycheck. They're also realizing, hey, you know, I want people here that are concerned about making the business tick, implementing improvements, whatever. So I think, and flat out just also a numbers game too. So you're going to have folks that are either, and it's not, you know, it's not one all catch all answer, right? There's different industries, different roles, different things that are happening. So in certain sectors, there might be easier to find maybe leads, but maybe those leads, they aren't qualified enough because of, you know, pay or certain benefits and perks, or, you know, remote working now is a big to do. So maybe some folks that are really talented may see a company they want to work for, but they don't offer the remote capabilities that they like or whatever. So people are getting selective on the job seeker end, but then hire also have to remain selective, because let's face it, when you're hiring, you're a recruiter, you know, between the job description, right, between the job description and sourcing and advertising, all the way through the interviews, post interviews, the testing and the onboarding, and then training, I mean, that's a long, arduous and expensive process. So you as an employer have to still be mindful that, hey, I don't want to do this again for this person or this position. Mm-hmm. So I still got to find the top talent that's out there, top talent on the bench waiting for that next role. So I think employers are kind of chomping at the bit to kind of grasp that away.
Yeah, good points there. Covered a lot. So going back to one of the things you said earlier about like work-life balance, people are trying to find remote work. I think it's really hard right now for a lot of companies to adapt, you know, and it is a job seeker's market. And we are seeing, you know, a lot of these job seekers who are going back and either quitting jobs because they want to spend more time at home with family, because that's what we've been used to over the last almost two years now with this pandemic. Everyone was used to working remotely. And then if you're asking them to get back into the office, a lot of employers don't have that flexibility anymore to keep all of their workers remote, right? And then you look at some of the businesses that were also impacted, having to close down or had limited hours or resources during the pandemic, that are trying to bounce back. They don't have the budgets to accommodate some of the people who are asking for, you know, a lot more than what the market is dictating that particular position usually calls for. So it's kind of a weird time. So I can see why, you know, employers are complaining they can't find people, because you're right, they don't want to go back and they don't want to have to retrain, because onboarding and finding talent takes time, and then it takes a lot of resources to get someone trained up to that certain level. But then it's also hard to hear when people can't find a job, because we know that there's a lot of jobs out there. I just feel like people are being a little bit more selective, don't you think?
Absolutely. And that's where also I'll even say moreover that some of these people are looking into, you know, entrepreneurship or side gigs, if you will. Mm-hmm. They go and do consultancy work, side gigs, freelancing, maybe writing or what have you. So it's like you said, it's a crazy time right now in staffing. There's no other way to put it. And when you couple that with a lot of folks jumping ship from the 9 to 5 and they're kind of done doing that, and they're going to go start maybe some cash flow businesses and things like that. It's just, like you said, it's just a wonky time.
Yeah. So I think the gig economy, you know, people who want to just pick up shifts that meet their work-life demands, that's a huge thing. And then side hustles, speaking of that, I mean, I think that kind of leads me into my next question. You were impacted by a layoff also at one point in your career, and that actually helped you kind of pivot into turning your side hustle, I think, into a full-time coaching and resume writing business. Is that right?
That's correct. I was. Yeah, I was a victim of the famous, 2008 financial collapse. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. I'm an East Coaster from Cleveland originally. Go Browns. It's like, and I went out west, got a job as a recruiter for Johns Controls, and I was happy. Recruiting my HVAC mechanics and controls techs, and all of a sudden the bottom fell out, and I was a victim of a layoff probably about 6 months after the initial kind of fallout. So I remember the date, February 7, 2009 is where I really, my world kind of came to a collapse. A brief bout with some minor, mental issues when I was in college, but this was something that I'd never experienced before. I was just this wave of anxiety that I was like, what is this? And it got to the point where it was, what do you want to call it? Where it's debilitating, right? I mean, I didn't want to leave the house. It was just, and at that point, I was 100 pounds overweight. I was up to like 350 pounds, and I wasn't going to church, and I wasn't, doing anything other than daytime resume writing, career coaching, and recruiting. And at night, I was screenwriting, acting, and doing comedy. And that was my two lives, but I never had anything in between. And I just thought, well, I got to get my life in order. And so I go, well, I've been writing resumes. Maybe just try to do it freelance, and as soon as I got that first check, because back then we had checks, I was like,
Yeah, now you're dating yourself there.
yeah, oh yeah, I love check. No, it's so funny. My foot, I have like one I still have to write. It's like I was just like, I'm gonna start doing this resume stuff, and I got, and I was like, this is pretty cool. So I started learning how to be a business owner and learning the ins and outs of, taxes, accounting, legal stuff, everything that goes into it. And trust me, if you're out there and you're interested in doing that, it's not that hard. You just got to be very detailed and just go down the list. And got things together where after a few years, I dropped the recruiting arm. As you know, recruiting, it is probably one of the hardest jobs out there as far as emotional.
Thank you.
Right. And if you're not, I mean, it's, yeah, I, so can't recruit half the time. We'll just say that. So I was like, well, I'm going to make this career coaching and resume writing full time. And 12 years later, I couldn't be happier. I mean, it was like the darkest of my days. Now it's like the brightest where it's working. My system's working. I've got satisfied clients and I'm very happy. So you can do it. And the whole idea of starting a business, while daunting, is extremely exciting. Days where you're crying and you're a mess because your website doesn't look like your competitors, and how the heck are you going to get there? And then you start putting things together, action items, and then you get there and you're constantly evolving. And it's a lot of fun where now I don't think I could ever go back to a 9 to 5. And no offense to those out there that do, it's not for me, my personality anymore. So it couldn't be better.
Good. Well, I'm glad that out of your, unfortunate situation that happened with being laid off, that you were able to find something good out of it, and it's sustained you, and sounds like you're doing well.
Oh, thank you for that. Absolutely. It's been a blessing, and now I have, little guy at home, a little 3-year-old, and the balance is there. That's the key too, I think, for any listener out there. Make sure you're balancing. Your subconscious is well aware if you're not doing the right things, and it'll creep up on you pretty quick. And if it doesn't, that's great. You don't have that kind of that mental kind of capacity to get, not capacity, but I mean, like, you don't have that ability to get there in your brain, whereas some of us who do. Anxiety is a very real thing, and I still live with it once in a while. You just got to make sure you take care of yourself and balancing your scale that is your life.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I actually was laid off too. And so I've been in your shoes before, but haven't made the jump to actually making what I'm doing a full-time side gig, if you will. So I still coach and help different people with things. But yeah, I feel you when you were talking about having that level of depression. I think so this happened to me twice. I was once laid off before Christmas in 2016, so you can probably imagine. And we were in the process of buying a home, and right before we were going to close on the house, I got the news that I was not going to have a job. So that really like put
such a big damper on the family, because I am the breadwinner of the family. And it did create a lot of self-doubt as far as what I'm going to do next. And then, of course, this pandemic was the next round of, you know, I never thought I'd have to do it again. But, you know, the pandemic kind of put me there for 8 months. I was furloughed for 8 months. So it really is focusing on yourself, drawing upon your skills, focusing on your network. But fortunately, I've been, you know, out of that one layoff that happened in 2016, I was able to meet my current boss, who I've followed around at three different jobs. He's hired me at three different locations. I feel like I've been almost following him around. But that relationship came strictly out of networking on LinkedIn. So for those that are, you know, finding themselves kind of in that phase like you were and like I was, where we're not sure what's next for us, and, you know, the uncertainty of what kind of job, or, you know, how am I going to provide for my family? Really networking and just leaning into like your current connections. You just never know when someone has that opportunity for you or can provide that for you. So I always encourage people to focus on networking, because I think it really does open up a lot of things, because you never know who someone else might be connected to, right?
Right. Right. The power of networking is tremendous. It'll always be the number one way to get a role is, you know, who you know. And if you are active and you're sticking to a consistent calendar of maybe posting some thought leadership on LinkedIn and making sure you're connecting with people that are both current as well as people you wish to connect with, and kind of cold messaging and all that kind of stuff, people will respond. I mean, not everybody, but there are going to be people that will respond. And the more you put yourself out there, it's amazing how much it'll reciprocate. And the key I always tell my clients is offer value. Don't go in hot going, I need a job. You know, get your right, get the right marketing collateral together, get your resume together, get your profile looking good. So then when you start doing these things, everything as far as the tangibles are in place and ready to show. And then when you do approach your managers and cold message them, you know, just ask if they could bend their ear, talk to them about the company and you know, what it takes to maybe be a candidate should an opening come up, as well as, hey, pick their brain about their career trajectory and their journey and how they've worked at that company. People love talking about themselves and the company. And if you can get them just for a few minutes, make an impression, then stick to it. Hit them up every couple of weeks with like a news article or some sort of insight that you share with them saying, hey, I thought this might be relevant to you, want to share it. And if you do that consistently, you know, it's like planting seeds. In a few months, maybe then you have the big ask. Hey, can you take a look at this? Or even after that first call, you know, if it resonates well enough and you feel like you've really, you know, you're kind of really having some synergy, you know, maybe have that ask then. Say, hey, you know, I don't know if you maybe want to take a look at this. I'm just, you know, I'm always trying to see if I could be a viable candidate for someplace like yours, your company. But you really got to, again, there's no right way. It's all kind of feeling it out. But if you're uncertain, just remember, give, and eventually you will receive.
All right. Well, one of the roadblocks I hear candidates talk about when they talk about resumes is that they have to get their resume ATS ready or make sure that it goes through the right bots. You write resumes all the time. So do you agree with that statement? Help candidates who feel like they have to have a certain structure set up for their resume. What's important, or what do you typically tell them?
Yeah, great question. So first off, applicant tracking systems are not to be something you fear. I mean, again, it's automation working, right? It's making things seamless for recruiters to be able to receive resumes and then go within a pool of people. And now it's getting a little more sophisticated from when I used to recruit in the 2000s. Now they're actually acting as gatekeepers. So you got to play the game a little bit. And here's how you do it. First and foremost, keep it linear, meaning no graphs, no charts, no text boxes, no pictures of you, little icons that represent your phone and all this stuff. Just keep it easy. It doesn't need to be simplified either, where it looks kind of ugly also, where it's kind of basic, right? You got to find that fine line that I use that will pass the bots, but also have that visual aesthetic and appeal to it. But if you keep it easy And then focus on the content. The content and the skills are what's going to set you apart. Like, I always like a summary that's kind of giving you a little bit of what your key value offerings are, as well as your unique selling proposition. Why are you different than the next account manager who's just as qualified? Then I like the skills section. Skills are important for keyword optimization because, again, as recruiters, I got to use my job description to go find people. And I'm going to use words within the job description to find you because that's what the hiring manager wants. So right. Make sure, so if you're looking at these job descriptions, just reverse engineer. Go highlight the stuff you can do and then get that on your resume. But don't just copy and paste it from the job description. Make it your own.
Great points, because I know the new trend is to have photos and make it splashy. And, you know, we live in this Instagram world where, you know, everything's visual, right? So right. I love the very creative resumes, but to me, those are the ones that you maybe send in an email, but not what you submit to a website or anything like that. Yeah. So you're right. It needs to just be clean, concise, to the point, no icons, very few graphics, but also making sure that they add in certain metrics and accomplishments and everything. Yeah. So great, great point. So what's the best way for people to find you?
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, so if they go to jobstickers.com, like your favorite food, the pot sticker, but jobstickers.com. It was such a marketing gimmick when I started. I'm like, this is the best idea I've ever come up with. But it's just easier than my company. So go there. That's embedded on my website, and that's where you can contact me to be glad to send you that free resource guides about the backdoor job hunting. And just mention Jess in the podcast. If you go there, though, that's where you can follow my posts daily, as well as you can subscribe to my newsletter and all that kind of stuff. So that's where my world is.
Awesome. Well, I will make sure I also add all of your links and ways to connect with you on my website so people can also find you. And since you did mention your podcast host, what's the name of your podcast?
It's actually the Job Stickers Podcast.
There you go.
I use it for everything.
Simple enough.
Yeah. And my podcast right now, a little bit of a hiatus. I kind of reshuffling my marketing content, boring stuff for small business owners. So I will be back though in the spring. But in the meantime, I just got on TikTok. So you can see me at MJ Career
on
TikTok. Yeah. I bit the bullet. The organic lead generation turned me on. They said it's organic. So I go, hey, you might as well, you know, use stuff that's working.
Right. Well, Instagram Reels too is where it's at, but great way to communicate and connect with a larger audience. So great to have you on here. We'll take a look at jobstickers.com. I'll put all of your links on my website. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your knowledge. I think this provides a lot of great value, and I've really enjoyed our conversation.
That same here, Jessica. I'd love to do it again down the road. And thank you again for your time and all you do for everybody out there. The recruiter guys, be easy on the recruiters. They're trying their best. It's a rough world. And so please do not go going hot with recruiters. Treat them like gold, because they really, you know, they have access, and you need them more than they need you. Trust me.
Thank you, Matt, for your awesome tips to help people who might be looking to make a career change. Opportunities, they are out there. You just have to go and get it. Now, whether you're looking for opportunities that mean more money in your pocket, better benefits for you and your family, or maybe it's just the ability to work remotely, whatever the reason, ask yourself, what is it that you want? Why do you want it? And have a plan in place to get you there. Finding opportunities is not about submitting resumes you find on a job board and just waiting for someone to contact you. Networking and building connections are going to be key. So network with a purpose. Start with the people that you already know, and then get out of your comfort zone and find people in the industry or occupation you're looking to get into. Connect, connect, and reconnect. Join professional organizations. These are groups that can give you the inside track. Job boards, they'll help, but again, it's not the end-all and be-all solution. Use it as a starting point, but you can find recruiters to partner with who can help you. get a career coach to help you take that strategic approach when keeping you motivated and finding that next career opportunity. Recruiters can be your best friend and your best resource because we will advocate for you because we know who you are and what you're capable of doing. Look, it takes a lot of time and patience, and depending on the position you're chasing, the experience you bring to the table, finding the right opportunity will take time, so be patient and be resilient. Well, how are you guys chasing after the opportunities that you want? I want to continue this discussion, so find me on LinkedIn, connect with me on my website. I do want to hear from you, so follow the hashtag JustGetHired to see all of my content, tag me in all of your posts. Just a reminder, my podcast launches every other Tuesday, so you can enjoy a new episode in 2 more weeks. Well, my name is Jessica Fiesta George, your host of the Just Get Hired podcast. What do you guys want to talk about next? I'll catch you on my next episode.